Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. So we're coming back round to dog shit. Now, lads, if you remember a few episodes back, we talked about us witnessing dog shit tied to someone's wiper blade driving through Dublin.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Casual.
Irish listenership has let us down.
But this is the thing, right? Neil made a comment that he thought it might be an Irish thing.
It stuck with you.
Sticking dog shit to your car and driving around, that must be an Irish thing.
Mm.
Well, we got a message from one of our listeners, Rebecca.
Mm.
Rebecca from Sheffield.
Indeed.
So Rebecca ties shite to her windscreen wiper and drives around with it.
Allegedly.
It's a bit of a hobby of hers, I hear.
Allegedly.
Well, no, not allegedly. She actually told us that she does this. Now, she did give the backstory that it's, you know, if there's not a bin nearby,
yeah,
and of course, she's a fabulous person, she's going to clean up after a dog.
Yeah.
So she's going to take it home with her. And she doesn't want it in her car. She doesn't want dog shit in her car.
But she's got to also remember not to use the wiper.
Yes.
Because if you fling that off and it hits a kid in the face.
For me, it's more that the bag's going to burst and it's going to smear all over your window. You don't want to be dealing with that.
I'd rather smear it on my window than smack a kid in the face.
You know, like, I know it's Sheffield, but you still don't want to be dealing with that, you know.
Mm.
Bag of shite across the face, they're used to that in Sheffield, but you don't want to be going around with it all over your fucking car.
But there's a reason why I said allegedly. So I've actually thought about this long and hard. Because it doesn't make sense that someone from Sheffield, like it falls very neatly for you that someone from Sheffield randomly messages saying that they do it after I said I think it's an Irish thing. So Rebecca has a son called Harry who's a content creator.
Mm-hmm.
Now I haven't looked into it, but let's say he has a cameo and Megan was like, oh, they're from Sheffield, I'm gonna pay 50 quid on Cameo for them to message. They don't even have to do a video or anything. All they have to do is message the podcast to say, I'm from Sheffield and I hang shite off my window. It's just, the whole thing stinks like dog shit.
And Sheffield.
What?
It's
more like piss, Sheffield.
You think that Rebecca and I have come up with this elaborate scheme?
Well, she's not doing it for free. She's doing it for 50 quid.
I mean, is 50 quid enough
to send a message?
To admit you hang dog shit off your car and just drive around with it?
I know, even the way she messaged it, she was proud.
She's very very casual about it. I too enjoy hanging dog shit from my car.
Yeah.
So like Neil mentioned, Rebecca's son Harry actually does have a TikTok account where he talks about a few different things. One of the things that Harry talks about is he actually has a condition called neuroblastoma amplified sequence Pelker-Hirsch anomaly. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
I think that's right.
How'd I do? Good? Yeah?
I think that's right.
You happy
right.
with that? Yeah.
Now spell it. Without looking at it.
Yeah, I'm just looking to try and make sure I get it right. But so Harry talks about that.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, it's actually a pinned video on his account. We'll put that in the bio for this episode.
Yeah.
The link to the account.
It's always good to learn something, lads. Raise awareness, different conditions.
Well, he also talks about dinosaurs.
That's the next point I was going to bring up. That's very fucking important.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good dinosaur?
Mm.
Do you know much about dinosaurs?
I know as much as the next man.
Not very much then.
I know the reason why T-Rexes were so angry.
Yeah. I can see where it's going. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Oh, you want me to say it?
I can see you're fucking on edge, itching to say it.
Well, they had little arms.
Mm. Yeah.
And they
couldn't get a go at themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And because they were so fierce, no one else would have a go.
No, well, you wouldn't, would you? No. No, but we all love a dinosaur, don't we? Well, yeah, if you want to learn about dinosaurs, give Harry a watch. He's gonna tell you a few things.
Yeah, he does know his stuff.
He does.
When it comes to dinos.
He knows more than us.
Well,
it's not hard, is it?
It's really not difficult on any
topic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, A up, Harry, you know, fellow Sheffielder.
Our kid and all that.
Our kid.
That's what you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our kid, Harry.
You got to think about it, though. Like, in all seriousness, Harry's
there. Rebecca.
Obviously, Rebecca.
Yeah. Our kid, Rebecca.
Rebecca and Harry.
Yeah.
Harry and Rebecca. Two of them. It is kind of funny, though, isn't it? You know, Harry's like fucking talking about all these dinosaurs and we've just talked about dog shit for the second time.
Yeah. So, we have a shout out this week, other than Harry and Rebecca.
We do indeed.
We have another one. So, this week, now, they're starting to get a bit more theatrical with the fucking names. There is no way this is their name. Scully.
Why can't their name be Scully?
Because I've seen the address label. Scully.
Nickname.
Yeah, so they've already got one, so job's done.
Hat.
What?
Hat. A Scully is a hat. Hat.
Well, I thought I went a bit better than that.
Beanie, you know?
So we've been talking about conditions. Scoliosis.
Scoliosis. Oh, yes. Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's not very nice, actually.
I think is scoliosis like spine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get checked for it in school.
What?
All the girls in school get checked for it.
Why only girls?
Girls get it. More common in girls.
So if a lad's got scoliosis, he's fucked?
No one cares.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we settled on scoliosis?
I was going to go with X-Files.
Huh?
X-Files. Scully from X-Files.
Never watched it.
You never watched X-Files?
No. I had a life.
Fucking have a word with yourself.
No, because when X-Files was a thing, I was in me prime, in me teens. I was in the prime of life.
No, you were a kid.
X-Files.
Yes. You were a kid when that was on the telly.
Like 2000s. Wasn't it?
90s.
Was it?
Yeah.
I even as a kid, I weren't bothered about aliens and all. It's like Men in Black, innit, but a TV show.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll take your word for it, but there was someone called Scully. Well, what are we going with?
Well, Hat? I was going to say X-Files, Gillian Anderson, who Hat. Plays Scully.
Hat.
What?
Gillian Anderson, Hat.
Gillian Anderson's Hat.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gillian Anderson's Hat. We appreciate you.
Or the scoliosis hat.
No, it's not going to wear a hat. It's a condition.
No, but it could be a hat for people with scoliosis.
It could be. I don't know who's producing them. But
the NHS.
Sponsored by.
Yeah. So thank you, the NHS scoliosis hat.
We appreciate you. And lads, if you want your episodes early and ad-free, bit of bonus content here and there, head on over to Patreon and join Scully. If not, please consider leaving us a rating review, glowing review, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel like that, well, balls to you.
Yeah. Preferably 5 stars, but no one's putting a gun to your head.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Mm.
And yeah, just a quick thing for our Patreon. We've actually just covered a watch and discuss on Louis Theroux's Manosphere.
Well, we haven't actually just done it by the time this episode comes out.
No, it's been about a week or so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We give a...
We recently.
Yeah.
In the distant past.
Yeah.
Distant past? In the near past? How do you word that?
A bit ago.
A little while ago. Not too long ago.
Yeah, a bit ago.
As I always say, the other day.
Not that long back, as Megan had said.
That's what I'd say.
So, what you got for us today?
Today, we are going to be talking about the murder of Maribel Ramos.
Okay. Maribel.
Maribel.
Okay.
Do you like that name?
Sounds like a chocolate bar. Do you want a Maribel? Oh, I'd love a Maribel.
Maribel Ramos was born on the 22nd of November, 1976. She was described as being compassionate, fun, and competitive. A tough cookie, but a great human and someone you could always rely on.
Do you know, right, sorry, I know you've only just started.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know how you always, and I've done it myself, give out about when someone's a victim of a crime, it's always positive things said about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they always pick up, and then you'll see like Instagram reels and stuff where they'll be like, so I have some tips on how to avoid being a victim of a crime. And it'll be like, never light up the room and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One I've never heard, and it seems to be a pattern, competitive. Quite often it's, she was competitive.
Do you think?
Yeah. You just said it now.
Yes, I have just said it now.
But you've also said it about other victims.
Is there a specific case you're thinking of, or?
Oh, I can't remember.
Hmm. As a hardworking woman who planned for the future, Maribel had hopes of entering law enforcement. But before pursuing this, she first entered the military. Now, Maribel actually signed up not long before 9/11 and was deployed shortly afterwards. And after 8 years of service and two tours, Maribel decided not to re-enlist and was honourably discharged in 2008. Following this, Maribel moved to Orange, California with her mother, and she went on to study criminal justice at Cal State Fullerton.
Where was you when 9/11 happened? It's supposed to be a JFK thing.
In my sitting room.
We should have been at school.
I don't think so, was I? Unless it was afterwards. I remember being in my sitting room watching it on the news.
So I was in year 7. So I was like...
Was it a school day?
Yes. 100%. Because I remember exactly where I was. So I'd finished school and I used to go around to my nanan's after school. And I was also at the dentist because the dentist was round the corner from her gaff. And yeah, I was in year 7. I was about 12 years old and I got to my nanan's and she'd got it on the telly. It was like a live coverage of the Twin Towers. And I saw it happen with the second plane. And then my dad caught me smoking. It's the day I was first caught smoking by my dad.
Well done. You just made 9/11 about you.
Well, wow. It's just easy to remember where I was.
Point trying to backtrack now, Neil.
So you were bunking off school.
It must have been after school then. I just remember the news. I remember watching the news and I remember being in my sitting room.
Like, so when I'd finished school, I'd have finished school at about 3:45. So walking from school to my nanan's, it'd be about 15 minutes. So it'd be about 4 p.m. when I got to my nanan's. And it was on the telly then.
Yeah.
So that lines up because you would have finished school. And you would have probably been in nursery then.
Not quite, but okay.
Nearly. Well, when I was 12, you'd have been... Fucking hell, you were 6.
Mm.
Paddy Van's coming for me.
In 2009, Maribel's mother passed away. Following her mother's death, Maribel asked her sister Lucy to move in with her. But Lucy was settled, she had a kid who was in school. It just wasn't the best time for her to uproot her life. But she did say that if Maribel was unable to find a roommate, she would then move in.
Mm.
So with this, Maribel then went in search of a roommate. She placed an ad on Craigslist, and a man by the name of Quang Choi Joy, more commonly referred to as KC, responded, quote, I am a Korean single professional male. I am looking for a small apartment or private room with kitchen use, and your place sounds perfect. I have a 10-pound dog, Yorkie. I am a social drinker, non-smoker, straight, and I like to keep things clean. I am easygoing and get along with most people. I am from Knoxville, Tennessee, but applying for a job in Huntington Beach and would like to see the apartment when I am in town. Let me know if that is possible. KC Joy.
Okay, I'll tell you where you went wrong. So saying he's single and a professional male,
Fucking do not reply. Professional male?
What exactly are you taking issue with?
Well, he's a bit up himself, isn't he?
Is he?
I would never call myself a professional male.
Well, you're not very professional. Wouldn't
I'm
be appropriate.
All male. I would never call myself professional male.
I'm all male? What are you talking about?
Like...
what are you talking about?
Like, I'm a good bloke, you know? I can do DIY.
What the fuck has that got to do with anything? What are you thinking that means?
Professional male. But yes. is like, I'm a good bloke.
He happens to be a male.
Yeah.
But he's a professional. He's not working just a job. He has a career.
Oh, okay.
You good? You happy with that now?
Yeah.
You're getting a bit upset there, weren't you?
I wouldn't reply to him anyway because he's a bloke.
Well, Maribel did. She thought it sounded good, and she was also a dog lover with her own little dog, a Chihuahua mix named Maya. So she invites Casey to view the apartment.
See, that's the other problem. Yorkies and Chihuahuas like to bang.
Beg your pardon?
They're very easy to breed, are Yorkies and Chihuahuas.
Are they?
Well, you had a dog, mix, Chihuahua, Yorkie.
I did, yeah.
One of our Patreon members, Yorkie, Chihuahua.
Yeah.
They're very easy to... They're very attracted to each other.
Are they? Are you basing this solely on the fact that I and one of our listeners both had dogs, which were that mix?
Yes.
So two dogs in existence that you're aware of?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, Casey arrived in Orange to meet Maribel and view the apartment. Maribel's sister, who also met with him, said that he told her that he didn't have any family, he had never been married or had children, and he also said that he wouldn't be inviting people over all the time. Maribel and her sister liked Casey, he seemed lovely and, you know, it felt like a perfect match, both dog lovers, and he was a more quiet person. He wasn't going to become a hindrance to Maribel and her studies.
Yeah, and also you'd have the male presence in the apartment.
Oh, so now you're happy about it?
Well, I'm trying to think of the pros.
Yeah.
As a woman. Well, if I was a woman. And, yeah. Having a male presence in the house. Like, if you're going to rob a gaff and then you see a big geezer walk past the window, you're like, okay, well, I'll skip that one.
Yeah.
Like, look what Macaulay Culkin did in Home Alone with cardboard cutout.
Oh, no. Too right. Well, you're not wrong, because once Casey moves in, everything was going well. And he was truthful in that he was quiet and did not invite others over to the home. But it wasn't just that he was a more introverted person and preferred solitude. He was on his own, and it became apparent that he was actually quite lonely.
Mm.
And Maribel, as we said previous, was a compassionate person. She didn't want Casey to feel isolated, and so she began inviting him to family gatherings. They would also go to the dog park together, sometimes shop together, and over time they became good friends. He wasn't just known as Maribel's roommate, but as a friend of the family.
What's being passionate got to do with it?
Compassionate.
Oh.
On the 3rd of May 2013, Casey messages Maribel's sister Lucy. He tells her that Maribel hadn't come home and that he's worried about her. Lucy initially thought that Casey was just being a bit overdramatic, but she sends a text to her sister just to make sure. That day, Maribel was scheduled to speak at a veterans event, but she never showed. She also missed a softball game, which was a weekly routine that she had participated in for nearly 6 years. This was unlike Maribel to just back out of commitments. If for whatever reason she couldn't attend, she would have always at least sent a text to let them know. So this is when her family began to panic. They called the police and head over to her home.
They love their softball over there, don't they?
They do.
And then you got us over here with a cricket ball. We must be mental.
I don't get cricket. Not what? For me.
It's fairly easy. Like the rules.
No, I'm not in. I'm not into it. It's not for me.
Oh.
I didn't say I, you know, sit there weeping and soiling myself at the mention of it.
Yeah, but
I'm
just
not into it.
I think out of the two, you would be quicker to play cricket than you would softball. In softball, like racquetball, is the one
It's in the small court and it's fast, really fast paced.
Softball is like, do you know, every time I like half guessed something, I'm terrified because people are going to come for me when it comes to sports.
Oh, is it like rounders?
It's like baseball, isn't it?
So it's like rounders.
Yeah.
Right. I was thinking of the one where two people and it's like in a little court and they've got a little, is it the hand they use with a glove when they hit it? And they hit the ball against the wall, and when it bounces off the wall, the next person's got to hit it to bounce off the wall and keep going.
I'm not even joking. Cue the angry comments now. We're talking about like sport and we don't know what the fuck we're saying. There's going to be someone who loves this sport, whatever the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they're going to be very upset. Is it pickleball? Is that it?
No, do you,
I don't know what that is.
Right. I know exactly how I can describe it to you for you to know what I'm on about. Doug and Deacon.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Is that pickleball? What's pickleball?
I think it's racquetball.
You just said use your hands. Surely that's not racquetball.
I've definitely seen a sport.
What's squash? Is that it?
Squash is something you drink.
No, squash is a sport.
Oh.
I don't call what you call squash. I call dilute.
Yeah, or cordial.
No, I don't say that's very, very posh, cordial, absolute notions.
Right, I don't want to get into it, but there's definitely a sport.
We're in it now.
There's definitely a sport where you're wearing fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it's got like a hard plate in it, and that's your racket. That's in Spain.
I know the yoke you're on about, the Spanish thing.
Yeah.
The Spanish thing.
They play over like a table tennis, over a badminton net.
It's like more like a volleyball net, no? The Spanish one you're on about.
Same as a
badminton net's lower.
No, it's not.
It is.
Badminton net's high.
No, I don't think it is.
Of course it fucking is.
I think it's more like a tennis net.
Because your schools could only afford one type of net. That's why.
Possibly.
Yeah. Right, so back to Mabel.
Maribel.
So back to Maribel.
Yes. So Casey hasn't seen Maribel. He's worried. Messages Lucy. She hasn't shown up.
I'm sure he is, yeah.
She hasn't shown up for prior commitments.
Yeah. Veteran talk and...
softball.
A game, yes.
That started all of this.
Yeah.
When police arrive at her apartment, they see her car in the garage, her dog is there, the bedroom light is on, but no one is answering the door. And so police make the decision to force entry. They enter Maribel's bedroom and notice that her bed is unmade, which Maribel always made her bed.
For military.
Well, it was clear that something wasn't right, but there was no sign of a struggle or any evidence of a crime. With concerns growing, Maribel is now officially reported missing, and her family get to work trying to find her. Her sister Lucy starts a Facebook page to help raise awareness and find Maribel. Meanwhile, her niece distributes flyers with the help of her friends and her school.
It's a good idea. I've never heard of that before. Getting a whole school involved to get them out there more.
Yeah, sometimes you'll hear it, you know?
Oh. I'd never heard of it.
Well, you will hear, like, communities getting involved.
Communities, but school... You know, like how we said it before about truckers, like that'd be a good way, especially when it's state to state.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that before. Like getting a school involved, usually they try and shun kids away from it. You know, like cushioning them, like protecting them from knowing about that stuff.
No. I mean, years ago, they used to have the Boy Scouts involved in searching for bodies.
Oh, yeah.
No good. On the 13th of May, a candlelight vigil was held for Maribel. Her roommate Casey did attend, but chose to keep his distance from the family. The last confirmed sighting of Maribel was at 7:15 p.m. on the 2nd of May. At this time, Maribel can be seen on the apartment complex's CCTV, depositing her rent check in the Dropbox. Police speak to just about everyone in her life, friends, co-workers, ex-boyfriends. Each of them had a solid alibi. But I'll tell you who didn't have a solid alibi. Old KC over there.
Yeah. Why am I not surprised?
Well, KC was also the last person to have seen Maribel, leading him to become the main suspect.
Yeah, it is.
On the 4th of May, KC was interviewed by the police. He told detectives that he last saw Maribel at 9 p.m. on the night of the 2nd of May. This was before he went out for a drive. When he arrived back home at 10 p.m, Maribel was gone.
What does that mean, by the way? Right, I'm 37. I've been driving since I was like 17, 18. I don't think I've ever, on my own, just gone out for a drive.
You never gone out for a drive just to clear your head?
No.
Okay.
Do you know why? How the fuck does it clear your head when you're having to deal with dickheads brake checking you, cutting you up, fucking not indicating, going round a roundabout the wrong way? This is all stuff what's happened to me. I'm just listing everything I've witnessed. So you tell me how you're supposed to clear your head and use fuel.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not KC. I don't want to speak for him.
No, I know. Obviously, it's not just KC. Mm. You hear of it all the time. Oh, I just went out for a drive. What do you mean?
And you're taking that personally.
I get in my car to go somewhere, like hide a body, maybe. I'm on to him.
He told the police that his relationship with Maribel was, quote, like a love relationship as friends, and that, quote, she's my only family. She's in my will. Now, the interview with KC was difficult for detectives as Casey's English was very broken, so it was hard for them to get a more clear, concise answer out of him. They later found out that KC moved to the States when he was a kid and actually spoke English very well.
I bet.
There's actually someone I work with who's done this to me before. I've had many a conversation with him. We've chatted, you know, joked about.
Yeah.
And then...
No Evelyn Glass.
We got into a little bit of a disagreement. Like, not a big deal.
Yeah.
But suddenly he kept saying, I don't understand. I don't know what you're saying. And I was like, we had a full conversation not 10 minutes ago.
But...
It's kind of funny to me, but it was kind of like, you cheeky little bastard.
In their defense.
Who's they?
The person...
In Casey's defense or the person I'm talking about?
Fuck Casey. No, in your defense. When you get heated, people think you speak fast now. When you get heated, it's very fast.
No, but I wasn't angry.
Oh.
Do you remember they tried to tell me what days I had to work?
Yes.
He said to me, you have to do this. I was like, I don't work that day. Yeah. Like, that's always been the arrangement. He's like, no, you have to, just because he didn't want to work it. I'm like, the fuck I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently he couldn't understand, I don't work that day. Now, during this interview, they noticed that Casey had quite a few scratches on his arms. And it wasn't just the quantity of scratches, but these were big marks. Not the kind of ones you can just kind of blame on the cat.
By someone who's ex-military, who fucked you up.
He tells the detectives that the scratches were from fishing lines. Fishing lines that he had tried to retrieve from hedges in a park.
Yeah, because that's often where you find fishing lines.
Well, I'm not quite sure why he would be doing this, or if he was just, you know, clearing up the area, good Samaritan. But Casey did give them an exact location of where this had happened. So detectives check out the area, and yes, there were hedges in the exact spot, thick with thorns. It was plausible that he could have become scratched up from this, yes, but why would he bother to do that in the first place?
Well, like you said, clear, be a good Samaritan, clear the park.
Yes, but without gloves. Like, so let's say you saw it and it was a mess and you thought, do you know what? I want to do this. I'm here every week. I want it to be nice for myself and everyone else. Surely you'd come back with gloves and then do it.
You might be a fucking idiot.
Police then look into Casey's background and they find out that Casey's life seemed to have been deteriorating while in Tennessee. His parents had passed away. He had lost his job. And his relationship with his sister was in tatters due to an argument regarding inheritance. The police get in contact with his sister, who told them that Casey had an explosive temper, so much so that she began to fear him and had actually gotten a restraining order against him.
Oh.
Well, with all of this, police are fairly sus of KC, and they decide to set up surveillance on him.
Do you know something else I'd be sus with? You know, saying that about him having a barney with his sister over inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he spouted was, she was in my will, talking about...
Yes, he said he had no family.
Yeah. Was he in hers?
In Maribel's?
Yeah.
I highly doubt it.
Oh. Well, because he was saying, but Maribel was in his. So I didn't know if it was something they'd done together and then now.
No, I would highly doubt it.
Oh, okay.
They follow him to the library where KC would often rent a computer there. They monitor his activity on the computer remotely and they notice a few things.
Here we go.
When KC commented about Maribel on social media, he was referring to her in the past tense. Now, that's not great, but it is conceivable that if someone was assuming the worst, they may, without meaning to, use past tense.
Mm.
But then there was his search history. Some of his searches included, does a cell phone have to be turned on to track its location? What is the probability of finding a missing person? And how long does it take for a body to decay?
What's this? Like, this is how they're going to find people nowadays. This is how they're going to find killers. By the search history. What did they ask AI? Because everything's ask AI now.
Mm-hmm.
They're the sort of questions you're going to find people asking AI.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And what sort of question is that? What's the probability of finding someone who's missing? What?
What's your issue with that?
Well, there's different circumstances why someone's missing. Where they're missing. Like...
Yeah, but I assume he's obviously looking up like a general statistic.
I wouldn't have thought that would be a thing for someone missing. I don't know. Seems like... I don't mean it the way I say it, but it's a pointless question.
Well, again, I'm not KC. I don't answer for the man. Now, Lucy had organised an awareness walk for Maribel at Peter's Canyon. This was somewhere Maribel had previously taken her sister and niece. When KC checks social media and sees the post about the walk, he then goes onto Google Maps and searches the location for the walk. He then zooms right in on a specific tree in the area.
What an idiot.
He does this before deleting his search history.
Knobhead.
But that's the thing. Police are thinking that's fucking weird.
Mm.
And of course, they go to the exact location that Casey had searched. This is where they find Maribel's body buried in a shallow grave.
Bye, Casey.
Maribel and Casey seemingly had a perfect living arrangement, even becoming family friends. So what went wrong? What could have caused him to have done this?
I could tell you. Allegedly. This is what I think happened.
Go for it.
He may have had a drink, he may not have. And he looked at her one night and was like, yeah. And he makes a pass at her, she turns him down, so he kills her. I think that's quite plausible.
Yes and no.
Oh, I thought you'd agree with me.
What do you mean you think I'd agree with you?
Because that's a very common thing.
No, but I know what happens.
Oh.
I'm just going to disregard what and go, you're absolutely fucking right, Neil. Do you know what? I think they got this wrong. So the summer before Maribel went missing, KC had actually phoned Maribel's sister Lucy and told her that he knew Maribel wanted to get married and have kids, and that he wanted to be the man that she chose to do this with. Now, Lucy was shocked. This, to her, came out of nowhere.
Hmm.
She told Casey that he could absolutely have all of these things, just not with her sister.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was also a few years older than her. Maribel was 36, and Casey was, I believe, 52, 53. And he was her friend, not a romantic interest.
See, I weren't picturing him that old. I was picturing him around the same age.
No, like, there wasn't a massive age gap, but there's a couple of years between them, especially when you're talking about, you know, starting a family.
Yeah.
After this interaction, it played on Lucy's mind, and she knew that she had to talk to Maribel about it. She told her that she needed to talk to KC and figure it out, and that if he truly feels this way, She didn't think it was a good idea for him to continue living with her.
Mm.
Maribel did decide to talk to KC about his feelings, but he played it down compared to his previous statements and said that it was just a crush, not a big deal.
See, I think that would be a big deal, even a crush.
Well, it was a big deal because then shit got weird.
Yeah.
He started trying to, not so subtly, become a prospective partner for Maribel. Like when she mentioned that she thought a tattoo would suit KC, he then goes out and gets a big fuck-off tattoo of a Bengal tiger on his upper right arm. He also started to alter his clothing style. He spent $10,000 on cosmetic surgery and paid for both he and Maribel to go on a cruise together. Sadly for Casey's bank account, his attempts to catch Maribel's eye were failing. And slowly but surely, his attitude towards her started to become hostile and it became apparent that their friendship was over.
Do you know why? Because in his mind, you owe me. I've done all this.
Mm.
You owe me.
Who fucking asked you to?
So he's an incel. He's a man scorned.
Well, it's not exactly the same thing, but...
What do you mean?
An incel and a man scorned are not the same thing. I mean, they can overlap, yes.
Yeah. But he's an incel.
He's a piece of shit.
You owe me.
He's a prick. On the 21st of April, 2013, 12 days before Maribel was reported missing, she had placed a call to 911. Quote, okay, well, I just want to let you know that I have a roommate that should be leaving at the end of the month. We had a conversation today that he kind of freaked me out. I'm not feeling comfortable around him anymore. I'm feeling threatened.
Where was this before?
What do you mean, where was this before?
As soon as she went up missing, why weren't that fucking... There should be records.
Yeah. They maybe just didn't connect it immediately.
Huh?
The operator then asks her name, and Maribel's voice starts to break. She then tells the operator that, until he moves out, she's going to be locking her door. Quote, he sounded like he would hurt me. It was weird. The operator asks her why she is crying. And she told her, quote, because I'm afraid. I'm not comfortable with him anymore. I'm just calling to let you guys know that if something happens, that I did it because I was trying to defend myself.
See, I feel really fucking like...
That's horrific.
You're in your own home.
Yes.
And you don't feel safe.
And it's not even, you know, she's literally just laying the groundwork and taking the blame herself. She's saying, if I do something, just so you know, I've had to do it.
Yeah.
KC by now had stopped paying rent. Obviously, Maribel was pissed and she did confront him about the issue. This turned into a huge argument, which effectively ended any relationship between them. And she told KC that he had to move out.
Yeah, get out.
Now, an officer did present to the home in response to Maribel's call, but Maribel chose not to make a report. She said that she just wanted him to go. By the 2nd of May, the last time that Maribel was seen alive, dropping off her rent check, KC was meant to have been out of the property. He tells Maribel that he needed more time and that he wasn't going to be leaving yet. Maribel insists and tells him that he needs to be gone by the following day. KC then erupts in anger and hurls abuse at Maribel. Feeling uncomfortable with his behaviour, she calls her boyfriend Paul and puts him on speakerphone. Paul then tells KC, if your stuff is not gone by tomorrow, I will come and remove it for you. This was the last phone call that Maribel ever made.
So I don't want to put any blame on Paul. Or make him feel guilty because, you know, it's very easy to, after the fact, be like, this is what should have happened. But I think if me and you were in that situation, I think when you called me, I'd be like, right, you want him out within a day. Okay, if you want to be sound and give him that day, but I'm coming to stay. I'm coming to the apartment to stay the night.
Look. What I would assume is the case here.
Mm.
Maribel, obviously, her own words, she felt very uncomfortable. She felt threatened. She felt scared. I imagine she probably, other than making that call to 911, I imagine she probably played it down to people around her.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a very common
thing. And they probably weren't aware to the extent, because from hearing her family talk and seeing the support she had, I imagine they would have been right round and said, either, nope, you're not staying here, or I am staying here with you, you know?
Yeah.
So jumping forward to Casey's use of Google Maps and the discovery of Maribel's body, understandably, police would like to speak with Casey.
And the report.
What?
And the report. That's part of evidence as well.
Of course, yeah, but they have a body now. And they found it because of KC.
Yeah.
It's kind of the smoking gun there.
Yeah, he's got a couple of questions to answer.
He does indeed.
Yeah.
The problem was, KC had been monitoring the reports about Maribel. He knew that she had been found, and he knew that he was fucked.
Oh, so he's legged it.
Yeah, so as police arrive at his, or should I say Maribel's apartment, he jumps out the window and flees. But don't worry, he didn't get far before being detained. On the 17th of May, Casey was charged with murder. His trial began on the 8th of July 2014. And during the trial, it was difficult for the prosecution to prove how he had killed her, as they didn't even have a definitive cause of death due to the state of decomposition.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks in California.
His defense stated, quote, "Does the internet search prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he's involved in her disappearance or burying her remains? I don't think it does."
He knew where it was.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Case closed.
I know it's the defense, but come on.
What else have they got?
Right. Maybe not the searches for decay and what have you. You know, he could just be a curious booger trying to educate himself. I'm sure if most of us here had our searches checked,
you definitely be fucked. I've
said
it.
There'd be some fucked up shit in our pursuit of knowledge.
I've said it many times. Yeah. You might as well just put your hands out.
This is what I mean.
Cuff me.
There's a lot of strange shit I search when looking into cases.
Yeah.
But searching the exact location of her body, cop on, of course it was fucking him.
Yeah. And you're going to have a witness statement from Paul. You're going to have the report come up, what she'd made before. Her sister's going to fucking speak. Yeah, the defense has got fuck all.
Well, the defense also tried to discredit Maribel's calls to 911. They said that she suffered from PTSD, was prone to paranoia, and that she had been drinking that night. They also suggested that Maribel died by suicide or possibly a medical condition.
In the sticks.
Well, this is the thing, right? They're not saying he didn't dispose of her body. They're saying he did not murder her.
Okay.
They described Casey as being odd, but not a murderer. Quote, "A crime will be proven here, and the crime that will be proven here is improper disposal of a body."
You're your own fucking...
No, he's not going to get off. They know he's not going to get off, so they have to go for something lesser. But I mean, even if that was true, it's not great, is it? Luckily, even without a cause of death, the prosecution did succeed in convincing the jury that Casey did murder Maribel. They painted a picture of a man obsessed, and how if he couldn't have her, no one could. Quote, "Maribel was his life, and the opportunity for him to be with the love of his life was coming to an end." They believe that Casey must have smothered Maribel in her sleep. Maribel may have been more of a petite woman at 5'3" and 125 pounds, but Casey knew that Maribel was strong and capable. Even if he did succeed in his attack, she would not have gone down without a fight and caused quite a scene, meaning both commotion and a physical crime scene.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll smothered her in her sleep.
I do.
She said, "I will lock my door." So,
but you don't think he could have picked the lock?
Well, he could have, but that's a skill.
He also likes to hop in and out of windows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Christ, she even called 911 previously to let them know that she may come out swinging. You know, Casey knew he had to do something.
Yeah.
I personally agree with the prosecution. I think that is the most likely scenario here.
I can't get over, like, the feeling she'd have had, you know, getting in bed, worried. You know, you'd feel like you can't shower.
Yeah. Do you have another theory? If you don't believe it was a case of attacking her in her sleep, what do you think it could have been?
Something like that. Shower, maybe.
What?
Catch her off guard.
Yeah, but she's still going to be conscious.
Yeah, but she's laid
fighting.
In the bath.
Yeah.
And he just barges in and shoves her head down.
Yeah.
That could be a way. But like you said, if he's picked a lock or gone through a window when she's in bed.
Yeah. It just seems the most likely thing to me.
Yeah.
From what we know of Maribel, what we know about Maribel and what we know about KC, I feel like that's his best opportunity. He's clearly not, you know.
Yeah.
He's a coward. He's going to go for the easiest option here, I think.
Well, if you asked me if I have another theory, do you have another theory?
No, I am very convinced that he went into a room while she was asleep. I think that would have been the easiest option for him. I think it's the thing he would have gone for.
Hmm.
Casey was ultimately found guilty of second-degree murder, and on the 24th of July 2014, Casey was sentenced to 15 years to life in prison. So, we've talked about this before. At what point is it fair to consider an act to be premeditated? Clearly, Maribel felt threatened and even said that she was worried that he was going to cause harm.
Mm.
Maybe they can prove that he was going to kill her that night. And I understand we're dealing with the law rather than emotion or, let's be honest, logic.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, I think you, Neil, you speak more from your feelings and your emotions.
Allegedly.
And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but it's because you become so incensed about something.
Mm.
Sometimes you can kind of disregard the fact that there's laws that have to be followed by the courts.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, whether we agree with them or not, it's the way it is. And I think both of us have a strong sense of justice and when we feel like it's not being delivered, we get very frustrated and we struggle with that.
We get a bit vocal.
And I mean that in our more day-to-day lives as well. You know my fucking hatred of fence sitters.
Yes.
Look, they're the worst of the worst. Pick a side.
Yeah.
Sniveling, pathetic, fucking coward.
Yes.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I'd rather you be fully against me. Yeah. Honestly. I'm getting off topic, but my point is, in this case, I believe there was clearly some level of forethought.
Mm.
Crime of passion to me is in the heat of the moment. Someone has grabbed a knife that was beside them as they're stood in the kitchen kind of thing.
Right. Going by what they've said. So if they reckon that he went into her room and smothered her to death, that's pre-med in my book.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's not, as what I most likely believe, what the prosecution believe, sneaking into a room as she sleeps and suffocating her.
Yeah.
That shows some level of forethought.
Yeah.
You know, particularly if it was the case. Now, I'm not saying it is, but if he had picked a lock or got in through the window or whatever the case was.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, the reason there is one object, what's making it pre-med? The door. Did he have to go through a door to commit the crime? It's pre-med. That's the way I see it.
Well, to me, if someone is laid there asleep, you're not in the middle of an argument or a discussion.
Yeah.
Like I said, okay, if you're someone who owns a gun, right? Mm-hmm. And your gun is sat on the table.
Yeah.
And you picked up, it's a harder thing for us to comprehend,
mm-hmm.
picking up a gun and shooting a person.
Yeah.
But we do hear plenty of cases in America and they argue crime of passion. If there's a weapon right there and someone's done it in the heat of the moment. There is no heat of the moment if a person is asleep in their bed.
Yeah.
You know?
The only way you could argue it, it's not get away, like, argue it, but say if he had schizophrenia and he thought she was arguing with him.
Mm.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
If he was, like, imagining it.
I didn't see anything about a mental health evaluation.
Okay.
So I'm assuming not.
Yeah.
But I can't say for an absolute.
It's pretty mad.
Casey would go on to say, quote, "I miss Maribel more than anyone. I think about it. I've been here for about 440 days in jail. I think about it almost every day. Family want me to apologise, which I cannot apologise for something I haven't done. Maybe someday truth will come out. Maybe I'll just die inside prison."
You fucking piece of shit.
Right. "I miss Maribel more than anyone." Yeah. More than her fucking family. Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Dickhead.
Me.
Also, that's... we had different opinions on that. I don't buy into this. I can't apologise for what I haven't done.
Yeah.
But you can still be sorry for what has happened.
Yeah.
You can still feel bad for the family.
Yeah.
It's this whole thing of back to me, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucking snivelling twat.
Casey has maintained his innocence and is said to have sent dozens of letters to the judge and requested a new trial. His request was denied. He is also reported to be writing a book. Would you like to hear the title of this book?
Me.
Suspect, Guilty Until Proven Innocent.
What a prick.
Like, fuck up, you knob.
I will buy that book just to have as emergency toilet paper.
In May of 2013, Maribel was due to graduate. Although the opportunity was taken from her, Cal State University Fullerton did honour her during the ceremony. And in May of 2014, Cal State Fullerton announced the Maribel Ramos Scholarship for Veterans. Maribel was laid to rest in Fairhaven Cemetery. Her grave is inscribed with the words, "A kind woman, a steadfast warrior." Before her death, Maribel had been working as an executive security agent. Her co-worker said of her, quote, "I would want others to remember her passion. She saw a goal and pursued it passionately. She was confident and determined, and as a result, she accomplished so much in such a short period of time." Her employer said, quote, "In our field, you're paid to be on your toes. We are alert, stay aware of our surroundings. But it's a whole different world between our professional and personal lives. People in their personal lives might get comfortable and they don't notice the danger signs." Which, you know, I think it's a very good point to make, but sadly, Maribel did notice the danger signs and, according to her own words, would have lived out her final days in fear of what did eventually happen.
Yeah.
And that is the murder of Maribel Ramos. Neil.
Mm.
Thoughts?
Look, like, I think you're right. I think she was downplaying it to people around her because, especially, like I said, I didn't want to put it on Paul.
Yeah, no, of course.
You know, when I said I'd have stayed there that night. But yeah, she probably was keeping it from him. There was something I picked up on, though, towards the end. I didn't want to butt in again, so I was waiting until this moment. So he's in prison writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
But his English isn't very good.
Yeah, allegedly.
What a prick. What happened to that?
And he could have someone help him.
Ah, bollocks.
That's what you take issue with from this whole case.
No,
how dare he write a book?
Not this whole case, but the end. When you said that, I was like, hang on, I thought it could be fucking English, weren't
it? Did you not hear the title? It was fucking brilliant. Really good stuff. Yeah. Top notch.
Yeah. But like I said, if you want us to get a copy of it for emergency toilet paper or firewood.
Kindling.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you want me to tell you one additional creepy little aspect of this?
Don't say he's got a name tattooed on him.
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay.
When police arrived at the home that night,
mm.
that they suspected, you know, something happened.
Yeah.
Casey wasn't home. He was actually watching them from his car with binoculars.
What?
Yeah, he was watching them arrive and all go down, and then he kind of walked in and was like, oh my God, what's happening? What's going on?
How did they know that?
Well, they obviously saw him from a distance.
Hell.
Yeah, Maribel's sister said that when Casey arrived on scene, she was like, Casey, what happened? Where's my sister? What's going on? You know, it's a roommate. And she said that Casey kind of went straight to police, kind of ignored her. And she was like, in that moment, okay.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Like, you at least know something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I'm guessing it wasn't supposed to be a drop the mic moment, but as soon as you said that she was having a strange guy, well, not a strange guy, but a stranger who was male moving in, okay, he did it.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Odds are against him.
No, yeah, like I'm not trying to exactly hide it. There's not much you can hide. Yeah. Look, if it wasn't him, it was going to be a right fucking twist.
Yeah.
You know?
It was more likely him than a husband.
Yeah.
In another case. You know?
It's going to be him.
Yeah.
It's going to be old Casey over there without his alibi.
So, Oddie.
Robert Liston.
Do I know that name?
I don't know, do you?
Robert Liston. I don't think so.
Well, Robert Liston was a Scottish surgeon who was known for his speed and precision. In at least one instance, Robert was said to have amputated a limb in under 30 seconds.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, he even had a bit of a catchphrase. Quote, "Now, gentlemen, time me."
See, do you know if I was laid on that table?
Mm.
And the surgeon's there, scalpel in one hand, yeah? And then he just looks up and goes, "Time me." I'd be like, "Just hang on a minute. Let's talk about this." Yeah.
This 1800s, so.
Oh.
Yeah, you know. You kind of just grinned and bear it, didn't you?
It was 1800s?
Yeah.
So, whoa. Wash your hands
fair
before you
point.
Do this.
Yeah, I mean, well... Would you even, you're getting someone amputated again, 1800s, you're kind of like, just fucking have at it, you know, just fucking get it done. Let's hope for the best here, lads. Now, of course, no one's perfect and, you know, mistakes can happen.
Mm.
There was one alleged incident where Robert accidentally removed a man's testicle while amputating his leg. There was also reported to have been another procedure he performed on a patient, which resulted in the deaths of three people.
How's that work?
When old slick hand Robbie flicked the blade, he slashed through the clothing of a spectator who dropped dead of shock as he thought he had been slashed. Okay? The second was an assistant who suffered an infection as a result of his hand being cut off, and of course the patient who developed gangrene following the operation. Imagine having a 300% mortality rate on a single operation.
Well, we don't want to skim over that. How the hell do you lob a bollock off cutting someone's leg off?
The thing about that one is, like I said, allegedly.
Right.
It's been said, but you know, they're also dirty gossips back then. They were no better than us. They were probably worse than us. There wasn't anything on the telly box, you know?
Like, how do you come back from that? You go in to get a leg off.
And you lob a bollocks off. Bollock, sorry.
Yeah.
Singular.
Fucking hell.
You're getting your leg off. You know, is a bollock that much worse?
Yes.
Is it?
Right.
Right.
You're going for an arm off.
Yeah.
And they cut your tit off as well.
No, but I'm asking you, which are you more bothered by, losing a limb or losing a bollock? If you're given the option, you're ripping a leg off.
Yeah. But the leg's knackered. You're having the leg anyway.
No, but I'm saying if... Gun to your head, I'm taking a bollock or a leg.
Really? Shoot me.
You wouldn't just lob a bollock off? You still got one.
I don't want one, but like, your balance would be off and everything.
Would it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot me. Yeah.
I think you're being a bit dramatic. It's only a bollock.
I always used to say that when people came up to me going, right, would you jump out of an aeroplane or be buried alive?
Mm.
And I go, neither. Why would I do that? Right, yeah. Someone puts a gun to your head. Pull the fucking trigger.
I'm like that as well. You're not backing me into a fucking corner. Cheeky.
I've always said, firing squad, pull the fucking trigger.
It actually lines up well for you then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Anyway, back to Robert.
Mm.
So Robert was a bit of a lad, you know, arrogant
Scottish
bastard.
Oh.
Wow. Unbelievable.
I really thought that's where you were going.
No, he's a bit arrogant, you know?
Yeah.
He was, you know, fucking time me, lads. Oh, I lob bollocks off.
Yeah.
Look how great I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was said that his reason for promoting speed was primarily based in the interest of the patient. Quote, "You must study to perform the operation with as little pain to the patient as possible, for the purpose as quickly as you can, and so leave the truncated part that it shall not be a source of suffering and annoyance for the patient afterwards."
Suffering and annoyance. I would much prefer you to take your time and leave my bollock on.
You got to remember, at the time that Robert was knocking about, anesthesia wasn't a thing. So Robert's actions were not just about his own ego, although I'm sure he enjoyed the attention.
Mm.
He did have a heart. He was trying to improve their chances of survival and lessen their suffering.
Yeah, I get that. Just Scottish. Give him whiskey. Yeah.
Give Robert the whiskey.
No, obviously not. No. Give the patient.
Yeah.
Give him whiskey.
Yeah, but that you still got to fucking get on with it.
And a bullet to bite on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Had a heart. Had someone's bollock and all.
He did, yeah. Now, when anesthesia did become available, Robert was about it. He wasn't like these other doctors who may have been a bit like, what's this newfangled shite knocking about now?
Witchcraft and all that, yeah.
He actually performed the first surgical operation in Europe with the use of anesthesia.
Oh.
Good for Robert.
And did they leave for two bollocks?
I believe so, yes.
Right.
He also designed a splint used to save a lower limb which had suffered a fracture, thus saving the person from having to undergo amputation. He was also said to have been a great man for cutting flaps.
What? What, like...
What?
What? I don't want to guess and disrespect a lot of people.
Yeah, basically Robert would cut flaps of skin to encourage the skin to grow over the amputated area and heal.
Right.
Yeah.
You were trying to trip me up. I know exactly what you thought I was going to fucking say.
His col...
I'm on to you now.
His colleague, Dr. F. William Cox, said, quote, "A thrust of the long, straight knife, two or three rapid sawing movements, and the upper flap is made. Undergo his finger, and the flap is held back."
Is this a porno?
Right, hang on. "Another thrust, and the knife comes out in the angle of the upper flap. Two or three more lightning-like movements, and the lower flap is cut."
This is filth. This is filth.
You can't fucking make it up. That's a lot of flap. That is a
thrust
lot of flap.
Thrust and flap.
Flap.
And thrust.
His, did you hear
finger.
His, did you hear his name as well?
What?
Dr. F. William Cock.
Nah, they're taking the piss. Taking the piss.
This is worse than scot-free.
There's no one in Scotland with a surname Cock. I can tell you that now. Thrust, finger and flap in the same fucking... is filth.
Mm. Perversion, isn't it?
They didn't have normal porn back then. Dirty bastards.
Robert died on the 7th of December 1947 due to a ruptured aneurysm. Richard Gordon, a ship surgeon...
Should have been a ruptured bollock.
Richard Gordon would later describe Robert as, quote, "an abrupt, abrasive, argumentative man, unfailingly charitable to the poor and tender to the sick, who was vilely unpopular to his fellow surgeons at the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary."
And impatient.
Now, obviously, this is, you know, just an oddity. It's a quick little story. But I got to tell you, I was really enjoying learning about Robert.
Mm.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come back to him and maybe Ignis as well. Learn a bit more about him. I bet I'm always pissing people off saying that as well. How many times have I said I'm going to come back to something?
Yeah.
I haven't yet.
Yeah.
I promise I will.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
I know what you enjoyed. You knew I were going to react to the flap. You thought I were going to bite immediately.
I couldn't even get through. It would, right. Had I been able to hold it together and get through that seriously, it would have been good. I couldn't though. As soon as I saw flap on my screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to see,
when I was writing that up the other week, I was cracking up. Because I was just waiting for your reaction to flap.
Finger the flap back.
Flap.
It's like rap lyrics. Finger the flap back.
Glad you're not a rapper. What do you think of Robert then? 30 seconds to amputate a fucking limb.
Yeah.
That is pretty fucking impressive. Never mind the flaps. That's good going.
Yeah, never mind the missing testicle.
Well, that's allegedly.
And killing three people.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, that's allegedly.
Well, no, I mean,
three people didn't make it out of that fucking surgery.
That was a bit of a situation. Now, you know?
Hang on, why were the spectator?
Because people used to watch operations.
Why?
What do you mean, why? To watch it, to see it. You could have a medical student who wants to fucking watch it. People viewed shit.
No, I get like medical students and stuff, but you said spectator.
Hang on. You've got an issue with someone watching a surgery.
Yes.
People used to watch murders. People used to watch people getting executed.
Well, that's not murder.
You're killing a person now.
So, John Wayne Gacy, was he murdered?
If you wanted to look at it that way, but it wasn't like a public fucking execution. To me, it seems more fucking gruesome. And again, it depends on your view on the death penalty.
Depends on the penalty.
Some people view it as they're ending someone's life.
Yeah.
Others view it as you're murdering a person. What gives you the fucking right to take their life away?
Yeah.
I like how you said John Wayne Gacy's assuming, I'm like, oh, well, you know, fair.
It was the first person who come into my head.
It was a fucking good one though. Because he's very hard to argue.
Yeah.
You know, wanting him to remain on Earth.
That's what I mean. I was going to say, right, the first person who popped into my head was Eileen Wuornos. And I thought, no, she will say murdered if I say Eileen Wuornos.
Mm.
So I thought, right, next best thing, Ed Wayne Gacy.
Ed
Wayne Gacy.
Dale Wayne.
Yeah. Fucking hell.